Just to refresh what we are doing, we have been traveling back in time, 2,500 years, into the book of Haggai, right? The book of Haggai. And if you were here for the past few weeks, you will know that the book of Haggai actually is talking about what? About the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the temple effort. And if we are not, I mean, we are blessed because we are in that season where we can interpret this passage or this book either physically, because we are building a building, and also at the same time, we can interpret this spiritually. So we are blessed that way. Let's look at the verse there. Haggai chapter 1, verse 14. That's where we're going to start today. But this is after the episodes where Haggai received the word, and Haggai then delivered the word to the people. At that time, if you remember, they were living a very dissatisfied life. They, if you remember the word that is specific to that, you eat, but you're not full. You drink, you're not satisfied. And God invited the people to consider their way of living. They were living in luxurious house, yet the house of God is in ruin. And here we start with a good thing, because people responded. These people is actually teachable. This is the mark of the people of God. They are teachable, and they when the word of God was delivered to them, they responded. And I'm going to just go ahead and read, and you can just follow along. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. He's the governor. And the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. These are the group of people that God brought back from exile to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And they responded. They came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month in the sixth month. This is Jewish month, sixth month. In our calendar, that is September. And I want us to kind of pay attention a little bit about the month, because the date, the month, and the timing is of importance here a bit. And we see that people got excited, their heart is stirred up, they see the vision, God wants to take care of his house. So they start the rebuilding that has been delayed for 16 years. They put up the foundation, but they stopped because of the intimidation of the culture around them. There are many Samaritan and Arabs that's living in Jerusalem at that time. And they were intimidated, and they stopped the building for 16 years. But now, in this verse 14, they start again. In fact, that is called the second year of the Persian king. You will read then, jump 10 verses from that. That is the end. Verse 14 was the end, is the end of chapter 1. 10 verses later, God spoke again. On the 24th day, now this is on the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came again to the prophet Haggai. What's going on? 3 months later, the word came again. What happened is the people became discouraged again. This is not the first discouragement. The first they were discouraged about the intimidation. And then 1 month later, they were discouraged. Remember, I think last week there was. They were discouraged about the size. The size of the temple is too small compared to the house of God that Solomon built that was destroyed earlier, 70 years earlier. So they were discouraged, but yet God promised them that greater glory God will give into this new house. Now we find that they were discouraged again. I will not get into much this week about the source and the cause of discouragement, but think about this. 3 months after they were so excited, they were all pump up. Yeah, we need to. We don't like the way we live. We don't like the way we live in this dissatisfied condition and state. We want something better. And God says there is something better if we take care of the house. Let's build. But just a short 3 months later, people become discouraged again. 3 months, I'll give you a little bit for a preview for next week. December is a time of winter. Harvest is another 4 or 5 months. Resources probably run thin. Project is meticulous and long. Results is not immediately visible. It's a slow process, and that could be the one that discouraged them. I mean, have you ever get frustrated sometime looking, reading the Old Testament and you see the Israelites got discouraged so easily? Again and again they got discouraged. You got frustrated. But then you look at your own life. How many retreats have you been going? You're excited in the retreat, but not too long after the retreats, for some reason that spiritual, excitement is dying down. Well, discipleship is actually need patience. You may not see the result immediately. One thing that I want us to pause a bit when we read this situation is that how easy it is for the Jewish people to get discouraged. When you look at ourselves, we also realize the problem is not only at that time. We ourselves, when we look at our lives, we find that how easy it is that we get discouraged when we look at ourselves. But then you look at God, how faithful He is. He speaks. He takes care of His people. His continual act of speaking through His prophet Haggai. That is God's faithfulness. That is God's love. That is God's care. He's taking care of His people. He doesn't want His people to continue in this state of neediness, in a state of unhappiness, and then in the state of discouragement. God speaks. When we look at ourselves, we are discouraged. But when we look at God, we are thankful. God is faithful. Let's continue reading a bit more. Verse 14, verse 10, and let's continue a bit to verse 11 to verse 13. And I want to warn you, and don't get intimidated, because this next three verses is a little peculiar, mean odd, strange, okay? Because, if you read it, it may not belong, you feel like it doesn't belong there, but this is exactly the point. We are going to use our thinking hat a little bit and talk about Jewish law, Jewish cleanliness law. Okay, don't get intimidated. It's not that complicated, okay? So, here, verse 11. There's this conversation between Haggai and God, and God is telling Haggai to ask the priest about this particular aspect of a Jewish cleanliness law. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? Consecrated means holy, ceremonially clean. That's another word for it, okay? And the priest answered, no, it will not be consecrated. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled, mean unclean, by contact with a dead body, touches one of these things, those things that was mentioned before, the bread, stew, some wine, olive oil, and other food. If a person that touches a dead body touches off one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. So let me translate to you a little bit so that we understand what this Jewish law is. pretty much God is asking the priests something that they were already very familiar. These are the priests. They know the cleanliness law. This is the law in the Old Testament. And this is the question. If something is ceremonially clean or holy or consecrated, those are all the same word, a holy thing, if it touch something, does that something become clean or not? In other words, does cleanliness or holiness transferable? The answer is no. No. But if something is dirty, something touch dead body, something is unclean, touch something else, does that thing become defiled, dirty, unclean? The answer is yes. Okay? In other words, if I give you one summary, one sentence to describe this, is this. Holiness is not transferable. Uncleanness is transferable. You get this? Now let me make it a little easier for you. Your parents. Let's suppose your parents are believers. I know that not all parents, your parents are believers. Let's say your parents, but they are believers. They believe in Jesus, and by God's grace and the blood of Jesus, I believe that those who believe in Jesus, they are being consecrated. They are clean, not by their own effort or by their own knowledge, but by the grace of Jesus. They are clean. Now, you are the children. That's automatically, just for the fact that your parents are Christian and holy and consecrated, does that make you also a Christian and consecrated? The answer is no. Because their holiness is not transferable to you. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Only by the account of your relationship, knowing him and your faith, then you become holy, not by the sake of your parents. That's how you think about this, the transferable of the holiness. Okay? That's how I think about it. Unholiness, uncleanliness, defile and transferable. The way I think about this, what is unholy? What is unconsecrated? What is causing defilement? I'm thinking about gossips. Gossips or lying spirit. Or the spirit of criticism. Is that contagious? I think it is. Defilement. You know, someone come to you and then start speaking like this. Oh, you know, I really don't like the pastor or this particular leader. You know, he always offend me when he talk, and I just don't like his general feeling. You know, just don't like the person he is, and all kind of negative thing and criticism. And before too long, you will develop the same negative attitudes because of your friend telling you. What is that saying? Defilement, transfer. Holiness, you need Jesus. You need to have a personal relationship. That's my way of, hopefully you understand this, right? It's not too difficult, right? Am I losing you? No? Yeah? Okay. We continue with one verse, which I think is the key. This is a revelation that these people will need to have. In verse 14, you know, after all that strange conversation, then this is like a punchline, okay? This is it. Then Haggai said, "So it is with the people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defile." So Haggai is saying, the nation, this builder, and all the work of their hands and their sacrifices are unclean. And I think this is the main lesson that God is inviting us to understand, that God is leading his people, listen to this, more than just restoring a physical temple. Yes, they did. They restored. They started the work. But what God is aiming is actually more than just a physical temple. He is talking about a spiritual temple. It starts with the cleanliness of the heart of the people. See, this is the thing. Rubbing the stone that is used to build the temple is not going to make you holy. Touching the material and the furniture of the temple is not going to make you holy. Giving the offering in a temple is not going to make you holy. Being in the temple environment is not going to make you holy, because holiness is not transferable. Just because the people of God is building a temple or a building does not guarantee that they are clean or holy or in the right relationship with God. What God is looking for is a reformed heart. That's all along his message, actually. Instead of worry about all this physical thing, God is asking the people to consider their ways in the way they live. Because if the heart is not reformed, people will continue to fall into the trap of discouragement. And that's what it is. So quick of that state of discouragement, it is because the heart is not reformed. If the heart is not looking at the right direction, into the direction of life, into the direction of Christ, it will continue prone to discouragement. That is why they were discouraged to start the rebuilding on the first place. They were discouraged a month later. They were discouraged 3 months later, because they look at the wrong direction. Their heart is still not right. They don't get it, that the greater blessing that God wants, that promise, is talking about their heart being filled with the presence of God. We're back now to our first discussion in Haggai chapter 1. Consider your ways, God says. God is again inviting the people back then. This was 2,500 years ago. And right now, to all of us in this place, to consider what we are building. Because unless we spend time and listen to the master builder, Christ, we will be again and again and again get frustrated with our spiritual life. We will miss what God really wants to build. They miss the vision of the house that God wants to build. In one aspect, actually, God was faithful. God promised that a greater glory will fill the temple. About 500 years later, the King of Glory did enter that temple. But we have also the record of history that tell us that this temple was destroyed. AD 70. It's not forever. And it's never God intend to have a permanent building, physical building. It is always his intent to build us as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, in him, Christ, this is talking about building, the whole structure, our lives, is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. It is from the beginning, when God says, you let my temple be in the ruin and live in your own house, the very beginning of the advice and prophecy of Haggai, it's always intended that we build our lives as a temple of God instead of a building. He's not seeking a temporary building. He's seeking a permanent dwelling place. So, this is where I will close. Just review that old, interesting Jewish law, okay? That's how I'm going to close. And I want to invite you to just think about this a little bit more. Holiness is not transferable. And the question that I want us to ponder, have you making any intentionally step to grow in your spiritual life? Intentionally goal to know God's word? You know that this holiness is not transferable. Have you make it your own responsibility to grow your own maturity toward Christ intentionally, instead of relying on others like the program of the church or the pastor? You know, your pastor has to preach good, and you know, that's how I grow. Have you take charge in your own maturity growth? Or you always blame others? Ah, it's because that person is not making good music and I cannot worship, or that person does not preach, share well, and I don't learn anything. You know, it's always someone else's fault. In this case, we learn it is Holy Spirit and us personally that can help us grow. Holiness or cleanliness, in this case, is not transferable. It is Christ that can give it to us, not other person. Unholiness is transferable. So this is what I want to ask you. What area do you think that your life has been affected negatively by the world around you? Because it defiles. It has the potential to defile us. And is this the cause that's causing you to be discouraged and living in a state of dissatisfaction? Because you allow things to intrude into your life. Now, our family has been practicing this for 2 weeks. Every night before we sleep, we put down our cell phone in downstairs, in the kitchen. You know, all of us, we put it downstairs. And because what it is we talk one night during our dinner time, we felt that the smartphone is intruding into our life. That cell phone is the last thing we touch before we close our eyes, and that is the first thing that we grab for when we wake up in the morning. It is intruding. And so we decided as a family, let's put our smartphone, in the kitchen counter when we sleep. We reprioritize, because unholiness or this kind of thing can affect the quality of our lives. So we put it there. And of course, you know, for the first few days, the kids are complaining loudly, right? Oh, you're taking away something that, you know, I need. Oh, this is my alarm in the morning. I need this thing, you know. And I try to offer them different things. Oh, no, that doesn't work. Why are we using that kind of thing when we have the convenience of this smartphone and it can ring and can, you know, all kind of complain. But to my surprise, about a week after we started this, I think, about 2 weeks ago. And they're fine about it. In fact, I got a positive comment from my more mature person, my more mature kid, which is in this room. I'm not going to say his name. I like this. I like this. It allows me to think about something else. And in fact, I heard from mom. He's saying, oh, I want to uninstall my social media thing from my cell phone. What we realize is this thing has been intruding in our lives. It has the potential. Things that you allow, thing that is unclean, is contagious and it can affect you. Of course, we know that also the grace of God protect us. We know that. But it is not allowing us to just recklessly living our lives. In fact, the Word of God says, consider your ways. Consider your ways, how you live. If you feel that you are discouraged often, you don't grow as much as you think you should, maybe this is the time that you need to consider your ways. How are we living our Christian life? How are we living disciple life?